And I will always say to anybody, if I'm speaking, please go beyond the preacher and listen to what God is trying to say through my humble efforts. Can I have the cartoon up, please, Gray? Wait. What? Wait. What? Patience. What pushes people's buttons, folks? What pushes your buttons that you've got to exercise patience, or you've got no patience at all? Who'd like to shout out a couple of thoughts? Congregation interaction. Very patient. Patient. Very patient people. Anne.
With this new 20 mile per hour.
Yes.
I find it quite difficult to keep looking to see if I'm doing 20. And then I'll get a tailgater behind me.
Oh dear.
And they try to unnerve you. And it's
intimidating, isn't it?
It needs an awful lot of patience.
Yeah, I'm sure. Perhaps you should try wearing a blindfold. Who else? Who else? Who might have had their patience tested on the way here this morning? Or something's happened this morning. You won't have to go back that far. What's happened this morning? Will you get out of the bathroom? I'm going to be late. That sort of nonsense.
Yeah, I hate it when I'm in a queue at the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And the person ahead of me is paying, and he or his wife forgotten something. And they go back in to get it. And they hold everybody up.
Mm.
That really pushes my mind.
That's something I did last week, actually. But they were very gracious. I think they were one of me. Yeah. 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 And anybody else, just briefly. Just something. The simplest of things. What pushes your patience? Queuing for ladies' loos.
I
don't have that problem, unless I'm really desperate. So we've got road signs, haven't we? Traffic, we've got people, and we've got people, and we've got things, and the list is endless, absolutely endless, when you think about it. I wonder, God willing, please God, is this morning's message going to make any difference at all? Any difference at all? Because I'm going to try and talk about patience in some senses from Scripture. I always think, when I saw Fia, our youngest, and she was asleep this morning, and I always remember, because I probably had a longer fuse, or a shorter, longer fuse when I was younger, wasn't I? Perhaps. Maybe I have a shorter fuse now. But when our third was born, for the first month, 6 weeks, on the dot, 7 o'clock, scream, 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 and cry and cry. And then Nia would pick her up, put her onto my lap on the sofa for about 20 minutes, and then she went like that. Because I could take it in those days. I probably would now, but it's that sort of patience, isn't it? It's patience with people. It's patience with people more than anything. People rub us up the wrong way. We don't let our minds go beyond the fact, well, do you know what? We really don't know what's going on with them at the moment. We don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know the circumstances. All these things. Because we are impatient. If you've Googled the word patience, it's the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems, or suffering, without becoming annoyed or anxious. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Nia played a song last night by the group Apollo, wasn't it? I never heard the group. Some of the lyrics were, "When my world keeps on shaking," your prayer earlier, "there's meaning in the waiting. Help me to be patient." You had a story recently of two Christian folk, two men who were chatting, and one of them said, "Would you pray for me because I need patience?" So in the prayer, the other man prayed that the man who wanted patience would have more trials to improve his patience. Now, that's a bit of a big thing, isn't it? But maybe that might be a bit more self-explanatory as I go on. We were out Friday in the car. I was doing the good Christian thing in a long queue of traffic, and I just let the driver by my right, who was edging, indicating edging, I thought, well, if I don't let him in, we're going to go up the central reservation, he'll get clocked by an oncoming truck. Whose fault is that? So I just let him in. Well, she was not happy. Not happy at all. So just calmly I said, remember what the theme is on Sunday, dear? I'm not always as patronising like that, because I said, she would know, she's been married to me for 31 years. And of course the line, God is teaching me patience, I just wish he'd hurry up. Some of you lovely folk have got quotes from scripture that I handed you a little while ago, okay? I'm going to ask you to read them out. I'd rather not go around with a microphone, that's all right, because I think you've all got good voices, haven't you? These are some of the references that you find in scripture to do with patience. Who's got Ephesians 4, verse 2, please? Paul, can you shout it out loud and proud?
Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love.
Thank you. And do you know, there's a sense now, we listen to these scriptural verses, I don't have to say anything else. In some senses, I'm standing here preaching to the converted because it's all there in scripture. Who's got Jeremiah 29, verse 11?
For I know the plans I have for you, said the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope.
Thank you, Ange. I think that's a lot of people's very favourite ones, and especially when you, if you want to write something in a letter or a Bible or a book you give to a kid, a student going to uni, starting off on a new job. Colossians 3, verse 12, please. Thank you, Leslie.
Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
Thank you. I'm going to come back to that one in a short while. Who's got James chapter 5, verse 8? Thank you, Anne. You might want to have that word printed on the back of your car. I always remember when the Christian Fishers came out, you put on the back of cars. There were too many folk that I'd say, oh, I don't want to put that on there because I'm not a good driver. Okay, well, that's not a good thing, is it? Well, I know Perry's got Romans 12:12. That wasn't an accident. It wasn't deliberate, I gave you. What have you got, please, Perry?
Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Romans 12, verse 12.
And that's been one of my favourites recently as well. Romans 8, verse 25, please.
But if we look forward to something that we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently.
Thank you, Becky. Hebrews 10, verse 36. Thank you, Chris. Just a couple more. Psalm 37, verse 7.
Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act.
I think that's a favourite for a lot of folk as well. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Thank you, Sue. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous, boastful or proud.
Thank you, Sue. That one's read quite often in weddings, isn't it? Philippians 4, verse 6.
Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done.
Thank you, Kavera. And as he shared me earlier on, that was his reading from yesterday. And finally, Lamentations 3, verse 25 and 26.
The Lord is good from the Lord.
Thank you, Maya. Diolch. In Luke 15, there are three parables straight after each other. Parable of the lost sheep, parable of the lost coin, parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son. We are all familiar with those, I think, so I'm not going to go into great detail. The sheep got lost. It wandered off from the shepherd. How many of us can identify with that? But what happened? The shepherd went looking for it. Painstakingly, tenderly, carefully searched for the lost sheep. And you would have thought, well, he's got a herd of 100 plus, but no. He wants to make a difference to that one. So he went searching for it. And what did he do when he found it? He flung it over his shoulders and went back to the flock, rejoicing. Have you ever seen a shepherd work with sheep? It's been a few years now when we were up in the Yorkshire Dales, weren't we? To see the shepherd work with a sheepdog and work with a sheep, and the patience that the shepherd has, the patience the dog has, because they all want to go their own way, don't they? The sheep just want to wander off. Who remembers the program back in the 70s, One Man and His Dog, with Phil Drabble? Rabble. Don't say that with a mouthful of crisps either. Just wonderful. You won't find much like that on television these days, but it was so simple. But watching a shepherd work with the dog and the sheep, the Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus, and his flock, us, tenderly, caring, and above all, patient. You never saw a shepherd getting ratty, and the dog never did either. But in that parable, the sheep wandered off. The lost coin that follows afterward, well, that's just a coin that went missing in her home. But what did she do? She didn't discard it. She searched for it because it meant something. Tenderly, carefully, patiently. And she found it. And when she found it, she rejoiced. She told the neighbours that she had found a lost coin. The seeker of the lost sheep and the coin. Arguably, they searched because the coin and the sheep could not return by themselves. With the son, the prodigal son, the father in the parable, the father watched and waited patiently. Because after all, he was dealing with a human being, wasn't he? That's different to a sheep and a lost coin. A human being with a will of his own. But the father was ready and willing to greet his son if the son returned. If the son returned. See, in the same way, God's love is constant and patient and welcoming. You see, God will search for us and give us opportunities to respond, and he will not force us to come to him. He will encourage us to come to him. And like the father in the story, the prodigal son, what does God do? He waits patiently for us to come to our senses. The sheep was lost because it foolishly wandered away. The coin was lost through no fault of its own. And sometimes circumstances are like that. We find ourselves in circumstances that we have no control over. Arguably, that's a lot of the time. We have no control over. The son, the prodigal son, left his father and arguably his inheritance and the comfort of the environment. He left through selfishness, through want, through need, through greed. God's great love reaches out and finds sinners. No matter how or why they get lost. I'm just going to ask Annie for a moment. She wanted to share, except Annie's gone. No, Annie's there. Sorry, she was hiding behind Alan. I do apologise.
Do I have to have that?
I think you do, yeah. We all want to hear your lovely voice. Just read, just briefly share why you wanted to share with me. Yes, yeah.
And it's, so let me sing thy praise. So let me call thee mine. I cannot doubt thy word. I know that I am thine. Mine, mine, mine. I know that thou art mine. Saviour, dear Saviour, I know that thou art mine. And that makes me think, whatever we do, whatever circumstances, we are his, always. So I love it. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Mine, 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 I know thou art mine. It is an old hymn, Annie, but most of us know it. Psalm 40. If you could have that back up, please, Gray. Psalm 40. What's Psalm 40 about?
Patience.
David writes this, but he goes a step further from patience because the theme is doing God's will. And sometimes that means waiting patiently. And while we wait, we can love God, we can serve others, we can tell others about him. Verse 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. See, waiting for God is not easy. It's difficult waiting for people. Arguably, it's even more difficult waiting for God. But those few verses, David received four benefits from waiting. God lifted him out of despair. God set his feet on solid ground. God steadied him as he walked. And God put a new song of praise in his mouth. You see, often blessings to us cannot be received until we go through the trial of waiting. Verse 8, I'm just going to go through a couple of verses in this psalm. Verse 8, I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written in my heart. Now Jesus, the Lord Jesus actually quotes from that in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and verse 34. Even Jesus, the Son of God, was portrayed this attitude of obeying and serving God his Father. Verse 10. Verse 10. I have not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. Is it natural, do you think, for us to share God's faithfulness and God's love to people? Is it natural? We all struggle. Is it natural? Possibly not. Should it be natural? Yes. in some small way. You don't have to stand at Queen Street up on a box and start firing brimstone at every walker by. But you can make the difference to people, asking them how they are, offering to do something, politeness, making a connection, bridging the gap. And then it's about trust and relationship. And if you ask God to give you opportunities to share, then God will give you opportunities to share. And I'm sure we've all been in that situation. We've all shared. It's just sometimes it's a bit unnatural to us because we don't do it as we would normally. We can talk about the soccer and the rugby and the cricket and the weather and the price of fuel and the irate drivers who are following us. We could talk about all these things, but how natural, unnatural is it to share the gospel with people? See, David said in verse 10 that he would speak of God's faithfulness and salvation to those around him. When we realize the impact of God's righteousness in our lives, we cannot keep it hidden. We want to tell other people what God has done for us. If God's faithfulness has changed your life, don't be timid. Please don't be timid. But share the gospel. So when I was preparing this, I'm thinking to myself, patience. Well, I'm the last person to talk about patience, I tell you. But I'm thinking how God is teaching me to be patient as one of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22 says, the Holy Spirit produces this fruit of patience. Produces. See, he produces a spirit of patience, and he chooses to use us as a channel for it in wherever we go and whatever we do. And we have to remember, he doesn't have to. He chooses to. He doesn't have to have a church building here in Lisvain. We've got one down the road. We've got one up in Thornhill. We've got a couple in Llanishan. He doesn't have to. He doesn't need us. He chooses to. He chooses to. How does that make us feel? Does that make us feel excited? Do we feel, I hate to use the word pride, but does that make us feel proud inside that God, the creator of the heavens and earth, chooses to use us in his mission? So when I was thinking about patience, I'm thinking to myself, my motivation is not much how, is not so much how I can be patient or more patient. My motivation is how and why is God so patient with me? How and why is God so patient with me? And how on earth can I repay him? Of every minute, of every hour, of every day, how can I repay him? How can I repay his unfailing love and patience to me? I can't, can I? There's nothing I can do, but I can try. I can try. I can try. I was working at a garden months back in Robina, and there were guys, it's all about speed limits at the moment, Anne. There were guys putting up 20 mile an hour signs on lampposts. Boiling hot day, and we were just passing the time. How are you? Yeah. Had a hard day? Yes. Well, you've got a few to put up, haven't you? And he just said to me, he said, yeah, but you know what? God loves a trier. Mm. Woo! Where did that come from then? He said to me, God loves a trier. Well, I was so taken aback, and I've been wanting to use the loo for about half hour. I went to the house, used the bathroom, came back. He was gone. He was gone. And I wanted to carry on that conversation. Now, it might have been something he picked up from somebody else. He might have done Sunday school when he was a kid because he'd been in his 40s. He could have been a Christian. But I wanted to explore that with him because the word that he said, and I will say that God put into his mouth to say it to me, blessed me, and he said, God loves a trier. I don't need to say anything else. God loves a trier. Colossians 3, verse 12, I think Leslie, you read this, didn't you? Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Since God, who made everything, chose you and me, you must. What an honour. What a privilege. And what a motivation. Because I'm talking to you folk, and I would say, probably just about all of you know the Lord is your Saviour. And I would like to think at some point in your life past, many years ago, perhaps some of you, you came to the foot of his cross and you bowed in shame and asked for God's forgiveness. Cleanse me from my sins, Lord Jesus. And then your mindset would have possibly been, because you can do all that for me, then, oh Jesus, I have promised, what's the next line? To serve thee to the end. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So, of course, I'm thinking to myself, how much do I test God's patience? Take him for granted. But how much more does he forgive me? And you? And other folk you know as well? For folk who have no regard for God at all. And yet God still loves them. See, sometimes we complain. I've got to finish this water now. Excuse me. Sometimes we complain. Traffic. People. Things. We might even shake our fists in God's face. What is going on, Lord? Why are you letting this happen? Can't you see that what is happening here, I can't cope with? And Alex touched on that last week, didn't you? I can't cope this, Lord. You have it. And God will say, you can cope with it. Have it back. Because I want you to trust in me, he says. Sometimes God won't take away this problem, but he always promises to walk through it with you and hold your hands. And I came to the realization some years ago, I cannot shake my fist in God's face and say, why? Because I came to realize that no matter what I'm going through, whatever the problems, and believe you me, there's an awful lot going on at the moment, an awful lot. But I can't shake my fist in the face of God because I realise that I receive far more than what I deserve. Far more. So if God has given me this lot to deal with, I've got to walk through it with him. I've got to. And I believe that God brings us, takes us through trials to make us stronger. Stronger in him. Stronger in ourselves. And let's face it, folks, sometimes we deserve to go through these trials. We can't see sometimes why God allows things to happen. But if we reflect in the cold light of day and we sit back and think, perhaps we do deserve something like that. It's just we weren't quite expecting as much as it was going to be. We talk about the patience of Job. Well, Job, bless him. He lost his livelihood, lost money, lost his children. He lost his health. But he never cursed God. He never cursed God. And some of us are a bit fickle. The slightest thing can really get up our nose. And we're up in the air like Superman, aren't we? Patience. God knows he's in control. Why do we flap? If we had wings, we would take off, wouldn't we? We would take off. So just in closing, I can only pinch Alex's top tip from last week. The one at the top of the list. Can anybody remember what that was? What was Alex's top tip from last week? And some of you excused because you weren't here. Alex's top tip.
Focus on God and not the problem.
Thank you, Leslie. Focus on God. God won't promise to take away the problem. But all of a sudden things just become that little bit easier. And you can feel that you can approach the problem, you can cope with the problem a bit easier. And you trust in God and be patient with God because God has put that problem there for a reason, and you have to believe that. And God's not going to, there's the problem, I'm off. He helps you through it. You've got to try and exercise patience, to focus on God. And we had a lovely time on Wednesday in Connect Group, and that was the other thing I was going to mention, Val. I do apologise. Connect Group again this Wednesday, 7:30. And we can talk about peace, and we can talk about patience, and we can be with each other, we can share, we can pray, we can do life together. We can help each other along. And my scriptural verse on Wednesday night, or one of them, was Proverbs 27, verse 17. Perry liked it, didn't you? There's three words in the verse, and two of them are the same. In Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpens iron. We come together, we share. We bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I think that's in Galatians. But the verse on Wednesday, carrying on from Alex's focus on God, I said to folk, somebody tell me what Matthew 6, verse 33 is. And who would like to do that now? Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Possibly, well, arguably, many, many folk who are converted might have been one of their very, very first verses. I think it was one of mine. Yeah. And we used to sing that song. Perhaps we should have sung it this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Focusing on God. And it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And don't do it because it says so in Scripture. Do it willingly. Remember why Jesus said that. Remember what Jesus went through to get you to this point. Do it willingly. I could have gone down a bit of a darker route this morning because I could say, don't keep pushing God's button. Don't keep pushing God's patience. Well, is there ever a point where God stops being patient? Well, some people might and ah. But if we go back a number of weeks, you might remember in 1 Samuel chapter 28, where literally God turned his back. And he didn't show patience. Now, we would never, ever want to get to that point, would we? But you've got to ask yourself the question, how much do you have to keep pushing God and pushing God before God says, do you know what? And you think, well, he wouldn't do that. But we don't know God, do we? But the thing is, do you ever want to get to that point? Do you want to keep taking him for granted? the fruits of the Spirit. They're there for a reason. They're there to make us better Christians and to be better witnesses. I wonder how many of you actually read those this week and you went through them one by one, whether you did the test like I said about lifting up in the front of the mirror or not. Joy, gentleness, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, love, goodness, faithfulness. They're there for a reason. Seek them. Seek Jesus in all that you do. Be a blessing to others. Be a blessing to God. Make God pleased. We can have a reflection song now.